The 1 week you do a commission service, which ensures a very intimate service the next week. I'm excited for tonight. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit doesn't just go on the mission. He's here as well. And this afternoon, evening, where are we at now? Is it afternoon? Hey, it's afternoon. Let's call it afternoon. I'm not going to make any promises, but I plan to be very quick today. But we're going to do a bit of a healing service this afternoon. But it's going to be a healing service of not just sicknesses and whatever physical healing that is necessary, but it's going to be a time, and I'm going to explain to you just now where I'm coming from, of just healing in God's presence. And you don't necessarily have to be sick or have any emotional things, but the Lord just wants us to just resync and just reconnect with Him and just do things quickly before I'm just going to read from John chapter 10 today. But just do things quickly. I was sharing, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, I was sharing about the fact that God he's got new wine. Jesus says that how can you put new wine into old wineskins? And actually that new wine will actually destroy the old wineskins. That's actually what Jesus says. But he says, but you take new wine and you put it into new wineskins. And it was actually a really awesome service, and the Holy Spirit was so present. And towards the end of the service, I remember, and I specifically felt that God's going to fill us with that new wine in that service. And I remember at the end of the service, we felt specifically to pray for the kids. And we had all the little children and babies up, and we prayed. We prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And my kids, I've got two little kids, 2 years old and 1 year old. My little 2 year old, she's really experienced the Holy Spirit since then. We were driving in the car, and just out of nowhere, she said, I had a dream. And we didn't even know if she understood the concept of dream, but she said, I had a dream. And so we said, okay, well, what was the dream about? She said, Jesus. The dream was about Jesus. So we said, okay, what happened in the dream? So she said, no, Jesus came into a room. And so we said, Eliana said to her, did Jesus come into Evan Aiden's room, her little brother's room as well? She said, no, just my room. He just came into my room. And I can't remember, something else happened as well, but she really had an encounter with Jesus after, you know, several occasions actually. But I remember specifically, you know, saying, okay, let's pray for the kids. But it's almost like the Lord stopped me. Almost like the Lord paused and said, listen, for the rest of us, that new wine that He wants to pour out into us, we must be ready. We can't be old wineskins wanting to receive new wine unless we are ready, unless we have allowed God to do the necessary transformation in us so that the new wine would not destroy the old wineskins. And I think that's part of what I'm going to be sharing on tonight, is allowing God to change us if He wants to change us and to transform us. And like I said, a lot of what I believe He wants to do in order to get us into that place is to heal us and to sink us to God and to reconnect us in that sense. So that's the one thing. The other thing I felt, we're going to read from John 10. I felt God said that the great shepherd is taking charge tonight. Amen. In our lives. He's taking charge. So for some of us, I think it's going to mean something to all of us. Because like I just prayed, we need Jesus as much now today than we did when we got saved. God is finishing a work in us. He's perfecting us. He's making us new. So all of us are going to find a place. So for some of us, it's going to be different, and God's going to do different things in different people's lives. To some of us, I feel We are servants that have taken shots. We're in a battle. We're in a war. If you didn't realize it, the Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but there's a real battle. The fact that it's not against flesh and blood doesn't make it less real. In fact, it's more real because it's about, the battle is about eternity and where we go for eternity. So in that battle, some of us take shots because we're fighting. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're going to be in a war, you're going to take shots. And sometimes we feel like failures because we take shots. But, you know, if you're going to fight, it's going to happen. All right? Doesn't mean you're a sinner. It just means you took a shot. I felt warriors, some warriors have taken a wrong turn off. The great shepherd is the one that directs us. He steers us. He directs us. So some of us, maybe you're here, and the Lord just wants to direct you. And maybe it's just a little turn off that you took. Just feel that God, Jesus, wants to just help you with that direction. And then, thirdly, sons that are wounded, sons and daughters that are wounded. Now, there's two types of, you can be broken and you can be wounded, okay? Brokenness is a good thing. It means that we are yielded to God. It means that we realize our inabilities and our imperfections, and that actually makes us available to God to use us in the way that He wants. Actually, it says He desires a broken and contrite heart. That is what God chooses. And it's almost a picture of a horse. The horse is strong, but that will of that horse is not broken in. Whereas a trained horse, a broken-in horse, is useful for the master. Okay, so brokenness, there's nothing wrong with brokenness, but woundedness is something different. Woundedness is something that scars us so that it affects us and affects the way we perceive God, we perceive of spiritual family and friends, and it affects us in our relationships with God. We perceive things and we struggle to understand the love that God has for us and how He's, you know, how He's provided for us and what He wants to do in us. And that results in us experiencing God in negative ways. We experience Him as a taskmaster. We experience Him as distant. And we experience Him in various ways. And specifically, I felt also for someone, you are so used to being controlled. Did you know that God doesn't control? God loves. And sometimes if you've been in a, there's been authority in your life, whatever authority, and the authority has been very controlling, and suddenly that control is taken away and someone else comes into your life, and the way that they lead you is not with control, then you feel something's missing here. Because you're so used to the old way that it's happened, and that is woundedness. And for some of us, God wants to heal that woundedness. Right, so turn with me to John chapter 10. I don't know if you'll be able to see if you've got your Bibles here. I got my backup in case the light was a bit dark, but thanks, Matthew. That light's great. Okay, so John chapter 10. I'm just going to read from John chapter 10. From verse 1 to 21. And then what I'm going to do actually, like I said, it's an intimate service tonight. It's moved over to tonight. It's just past 5 now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you three questions afterwards. Okay? I'm going to ask you what stood out for you in the passage that I'm reading. Like I said, it's the only scripture I'm going to read tonight. What stood out for you? What did you love about the scripture? And what didn't you like about the scripture? Okay, and I'm actually going to ask some answers from the church. Okay, so let's read together. Verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, And the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things for which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. And I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again amongst the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, "He has a demon and he's mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Okay, I'm going to come back to that last sentence just now. But I want us actually to, and there's no wrong answers and no right answers. I'm actually excited to see what are the answers. What sort of stood out for you? What did you like? What didn't you like of that scripture? There's nothing wrong to say there's something I didn't like about the scripture. Okay? It's not a sin. It just means that we need to change. Okay? So quickly, who wants to go first? What stood out for you when you read that scripture? What is sort of what hit you, or what did you like? Megan? Okay. And actually, that's actually what upset the people, because he said he laid it down himself. Because at that time, they were already planning to kill him. So it actually angered them, because he now said, "Listen, you don't have control of my life. I lay it down." That's a very good point they make. Lisa? That he's the door. Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's repeat that, please, Lisa. The mommies want to be involved with this one.
Hi, mommies. What stood out for me was the fact that Jesus is the door, because I always know that he's the shepherd, but he's also the door, which is a whole different. It gave another spin off for me, or I realized it in a different way.
What's so amazing about the fact that Jesus is the door, it means that if we're his sheep, if we're his fold, and we're his church, it means that whoever wants to come in and, you know, speak into our lives or into the lives of the people, the only way they can do it is if they enter through Jesus. All right? Then they see Jesus. Anyone else? Yes, Agnes.
As you, As you were beginning to read, I was wondering, what does it look like if somebody climbs over the gate and not through the gate? So making Jesus a door really opens up that anybody that proclaims Jesus is the only way through God. That is the way. It's sort of, in this world with a lot of religions and a lot of openness to a lot of things, it sort of makes it defining, it has to be through Jesus Christ. And it just narrows the field and makes things clearer.
Yeah, I think something that stood out for me, and it was probably something that previously would have probably been something that I didn't like from the scripture, but just the fact that a lot of what the scripture says puts a lot of onus on us, on the people, on the sheep itself. I mean, you know, he doesn't say, "I will chase away the thief that comes to steal and to kill and destroy." He says that the sheep will not follow the thief because they don't know his voice. So I think that. It's really cool, but it's also really kind of scary to know that we must know that difference between God, Jesus' voice, and or God's voice, and the thief's voice.
Let's get two more.
For me, it was just on the first line. I can't remember the exact words, but he said, "I'm the good shepherd, and I either know your name or I chose your name." Know your name. For me, that's just cool because it means that we're not a random. We're not just a number. He knows every sheep. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
What I liked about the scripture, and it's probably going to be weird, but anyway, I like it where it says, "Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings." And I think because I like it because it's authentic, it's real, it's either for or against. And I think so many of us, especially me, many times in my life, I'm living in the gray area, and there's not a gray area. It's only two divisions. It's either yes or no.
Daniel's the last guy.
Okay, I liked that Jesus said he has the power to give up his life. In that, it stood out for me as well. It took power for him, and I think that power was that power over his humanity to actually allow himself to be humbled to that point and to go against maybe a lot of natural instincts that he might have been feeling. That took a lot of power. And the same way he said he has the power to take it back, which already he was speaking of his resurrection. So he has the power to give it up, and I've got the power to take it back.
Awesome. Thanks for those insights. I really enjoyed them. And I just want to just come back to this last line. But before I do, I just want to say, don't you think Jesus is amazing? Hey. I say it often, but I don't think I can say it often enough. Okay? Jesus is amazing. If you just look at his life, the fact that we're discussing 2,000 years after Jesus, we're discussing the teachings of Jesus, and it's still absolutely relevant. The teachings of Jesus are the ethically, morally, perfectly sound. The teachings of Jesus is logically sound. You know, after 2,000 years, it stood the test of time. You agree with me? The teachings of Jesus. And the fact is that Jesus never had any education. All right? And I just love to chat with people about Jesus. I don't know if you agree with me. People that don't, you know, that are not Christians. It's so amazing to chat to people because it's like you're talking about this really unique person. This person, there's no one like this person, Jesus. And I think we so often, because we're so used to the things of Jesus, we forget how really amazing he is and the things that he said. And I think it was Megan, was it you? Someone said, yeah, there was two divisions. No, it was Yonel. I thought it's Megan because Yonel's gone. So I was like... was there somewhere, and it was a female. But it ends off this scripture, and it says, these others said, so there were two sides of the division. The one side said he's got a demon, because those were actually the ones that wanted to kill him. But then the other said, these are not the words of one with a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So just before this, just before Jesus shares this in John chapter 10, he goes over to a blind man and he heals the blind man. It's that whole story about the blind man, and then he gets interviewed with the Pharisees. The Pharisees, you know, they want to make sure, is this now really, really the case? And then it's where the blind man responds. He says, I don't know what you're asking me. You're asking me all these difficult things, but all I can say is, I couldn't see, but now I can see. Never has anyone done this. That's what the words of the blind man. He says, but listen, something happened to my reality. Something happened in my life that changed me, that transformed me. The great shepherd stepped into my life and he made me see. I couldn't see, now I can see. And then Jesus goes further and he takes it. He talks about, you know, he was actually physically healed of blindness. Then he says, but the Pharisees, they're spiritually blind. But yet he's willing to heal them as well. He's willing to heal that blindness. And then at the end of the last verse of chapter 9, he says, they say, the Pharisee says, are we blind as well? Then Jesus says, but you've condemned yourself, because if you didn't say you see, now you've confessed it. But you actually don't see. So now you will be judged according to that. But that describes, and everything we read now describes the heart of the great shepherd, and that is for his sheep to be well. That is for his sheep to be strong, to be full of life. And that's what we're going to end off doing tonight. So I want to just share a couple of thoughts. But before I do that, I don't know if you've noticed, there's a couple of characters in the story. There's obviously the shepherd, and then there's the sheep. And then there's the thief or a robber, and then there's the wolf, then there's the hireling. And not specific to this scripture, but at another place Jesus speaks about goats. Okay, so we are either sheep or goats. Goats are obviously sheep. They do not submit to the shepherd. They're rebellious. Okay, but it doesn't speak in that specific verse. But look at, I want you just to see the characters here. The sheep, the shepherd. Okay, Jesus is the shepherd, we are the sheep. Then there's a thief, the wolf, the hireling. The sheep, the wolf, or the sheep, the robbers, the wolf, and the hireling. So obviously, Jesus, and one of the things, I want to actually take you through the whole, just my sort of summary of the whole thing. Jesus starts off and he says, but now, you are my sheep, or these are my sheep, I know them, and they hear my voice. When I speak, they can recognize my voice. They don't recognize strangers. Actually, that's another character in the sort of story. They're strangers, but they don't recognize the stranger. Actually, they recognize that it's a stranger's voice. And like a good little toddler would do, if they don't recognize the voice, they run away or they get scared. All right? But the sheep run to the shepherd, because they know his voice. Now, but then Jesus starts talking about, okay, now there's a shepherd, but then there's some imposters. Okay, there's a stranger, but then there's also a hireling. A hireling, then he goes on to say, a hireling gets exposed that if you bring a threat to his self-preservation, then you know this is a hireling. So, a shepherd and a hireling, you can't tell the difference until there's a danger. Then the hireling fights for himself. He preserves himself. But the shepherd does the opposite. He preserves the sheep. He lays his life down for the sheep, because he loves the sheep. Okay? So that's another party. Then, like I said, there's the wolf. Okay? The wolf comes, and he is predatory. He's focused on destroying the sheep. Okay? The hireling is still, you know, he's there for his own gain. And yes, he can do damage to the sheep because he's just concerned about himself. But he can also look like a good guy. But then there's the wolf. The wolf, there's no good. He just wants to destroy. Okay? Now, Revelations, Book of Revelations, Jesus writes to the seven churches. And one of the churches he writes and he says to them, you know, I see your works. I see the things that you're doing. I see your heart. He sort of analyzes the church. But then he says, one thing I hold against you, and that is because you allow a certain person to teach amongst you. And that person the Bible calls, or Jesus calls, the woman Jezebel. And that person is a wolf. All right? And he says to the church, listen, I have it against you that you allow this person or this woman to teach, because she calls herself a prophetess. Okay, she calls herself a prophet. In other words, she's not a prophet or prophetess, but she calls herself. In other words, she's self-appointed. So the hireling is maybe appointed, but he's there for his own gain. But the wolf is there to destroy. Okay? But appointed by him or herself. Okay? The fact that it's Jezebel doesn't mean it's just men, or just women, could be men as well. All right, so there's a predatory side to this. And Jesus warns. He warns about the stranger. He warns about the hireling. He warns about the wolf. But his heart is to protect the sheep. Now, what he says, and I didn't notice anyone picking that one up, but what really struck me about reading this passage is the fact that Jesus says, I have sheep, but they are not part of this fold. Actually, he says, they are not yet part of this fold. Then he says, but he wants them to be part of the fold, one fold and one shepherd. That is his heart. And if you look at Jesus, he's sharing in a couple of verses later, he starts to talk about the lost sheep, one sheep that went astray. But now, when you look at that sort of parable that Jesus is talking, we always think that it's that someone that is part of the church, someone that is in God's house, and they go astray, they get, I don't know what reason, rebellious or whatever. But no, what Jesus is talking there, if you read the specific parable, he's talking about someone that is lost, that is not saved and sort of wandering, but someone that is completely lost. So, how Jesus looks at it today, even today, he sees us, this is the church, and we are his sheep. But there are sheep outside that are also part of the sheep, but they're not yet of his fold. He wants to shepherd them, but they're not yet part of his fold. And I want us actually to allow God, and this is actually the key of our healing, I'm going to explain to you now, but allow God to show us and ask us when we meet people, when we're in contact with people, with its colleagues or friends or neighbors or whatever sort of people, if you meet that person, to ask God, is this your sheep, Lord? Because they're not part of your fold yet, but they are your sheep. All right? And there's so many people that God has appointed to be his sheep that he wants to bring in the fold because he wants to be the great shepherd. Now, here's the thing. Those of us that struggle, remember I said this is a healing service. Those of us that struggle with those sheep, that is an indication. The fact that you're struggling is an indication of the fact that you need healing. Because what happens is your understanding of God and his love is so in such a way that you are threatened by the other sheep, by the sheep that is not yet there, even though you don't maybe necessarily have a relationship with them, but there's something inside of you that says, but listen, I want God for myself. And the reason that is there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect between you and the shepherd. There's still expectation on you that is that on God. You have expectation, a love expectation that is unmet. In other words, you don't have enough of God. You don't have enough of his love. Because Jesus says when he wants to give to us, He gives more than enough. He gives till our cups overflows. All right? And for various reasons, our cups do not overflow, and God wants to come and mend those cups. He wants to bring healing, bring restoration. And that's what we're gonna pray about just now. And then finally, the last thing I want to just point out, and several people pointed out to the scripture, Jesus says that he lays his life down. He chooses to lay his life down. Actually, let me read it, verse 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Now, what is Jesus saying here? He's actually saying, listen, I'm actually seeing myself as a sheep. Because I'm not doing what I want to do. I'm not choosing what I want to do, but I'm choosing what the Father wants to do. So my Father is my shepherd. He's leading me. And I'm choosing the power that I have. I've got the power. I can at any point stop this thing. I can at any point choose not to go to the cross. But yet I choose to instead listen to the Father. I choose to deny myself. So what Jesus is saying right at the end is he's not just talking about being a shepherd. He's not just talking about the sheep and the tax on the sheep and so forth. But he's modeling what it is to be a sheep. He's showing what true healing is like. Because a true healed sheep goes to the cross easily. Do you guys get that? Do you see it? And that is the work that God wants to do in our hearts. So I want us to just quickly close our eyes, and we're going to just have communion together. So ushers, if you can just quickly distribute the communion. The band, you can come up as well. I want us to just bring our hearts to God. And the only thing that is ever necessary in receiving healing from God, and you'll know that if you need healing, you'll know if you need to just come to God, and God just realigns your heart and your spirit and your emotions and your mind. What is necessary and what's always necessary for healing is to come to Jesus and to ask. In other words, two things. Our honesty. Honest with the fact that you need healing. And secondly, you need to make yourself vulnerable before God. That is always, if you look at the people in the days of Jesus, they came up to Jesus. The one woman, she touched the hem of his garment. She was obviously honest about her situation, and then she made herself vulnerable. So I want us to just spend some time with God, just speaking to God, praying to God. Like I said, some of us have taken shots. Some of us have been wounded. Some of us are just broken. The great shepherd wants to take control. He wants to take control of your heart, of your mind, of your being. Just where you're at, just begin to speak to God. Sometimes we don't even realize that we've been wounded. We don't even realize that we've been scarred by people around us or circumstances or situations. But Jesus is the same healer. He heals us. So allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to you and to minister into your heart. Just put up your hand if you're still waiting for the elements.
has received.
Father, I thank you that your love for us is unconditional. Thank you that your love is perfect, God. And even if sometimes we don't experience you, God, as we would like to experience you, Lord, we don't experience you as your love as we'd like to experience it, it doesn't make it less real. And we want to thank you that that is the truth tonight. Thank you for your presence, Lord, that heals us. The same virtue that flowed through Jesus is yet to heal us, to mend us, to make broken vessels whole again, to restore us just to... Someone here specifically, I feel you've been manipulated a lot. Is a relationship, abusive relationship. You don't see it that way, but you know there's a lot of manipulation going on. But you haven't realized, you don't realize how it's affected you. The Holy Spirit is just pointing towards that, and he says, but listen, I'm going to come and show you what is my true love. I'm going to come and heal you from those scars. I want to come and heal you from what has happened. So, Father, we thank you for your grace over this place in our hearts and over our lives. I want us, if you fall into any of those categories, I want you just to stretch out your hands to heaven. Say, God, I'm making myself vulnerable. I'm being honest with them. Our heart is at. I can feel something needs to change. Something in me needs to shift. I don't know how. I don't understand. I don't even know where it comes from, but I'm not going to try and figure it out, God. I'm just going to stretch out my hands to heaven. I'm going to touch the hem of your garment. I'm going to stretch out to you, Jesus. And I'm going to receive that healing. I don't understand, Lord, why I had to go through the things that I went through. And actually, I'm angry with you now. My heart. Someone here, you struggle to accept yourself. You struggle to love yourself. God wants to heal you of that as well. I want to actually ask you, if you've raised your hand, won't you just quickly stand up and bring your elements? Just come to the front and we're going to just take communion together. We're going to pray together. We're going to just ask God to heal us in that. I'm going to actually ask you guys, while other people are still coming up, if we can form groups of three, guys with guys and girls with girls, and if you can just form groups of three, we're going to just take communion together and we're going to ask God to finish that work of healing. So let's just pray for the elements. Father, we thank you, like I said earlier, for the cross. It is so relevant to our lives, Lord. It is so, so amazing, God. We thank you for your amazing grace. You died for us to be restored, to be whole, to be complete in you. We thank you, Father, for your blood that flowed, that washes us clean, makes us as white as snow, God, washes our sins away. Thank you for your body that was broken so that our brokenness can be mended. I thank you, Lord, that you do that right.